In a hauntingly unique, compulsively readable, engrossingly intense psychological thriller for readers of Freda McFadden, John Mars, Karen Slaughter, and the Lovely Bones, three women murdered by the same man unite in the afterlife to find justice. A devastating tale of female rage and righteous vengeance, Ask for Andrea will leave readers gutted and asking for more. Three women unite in the afterlife to stop their killer in this viral thriller, perfect for true crime fans. Listener, I personally could not stop reading this book. It feels almost cinematic, and the characters leap right off the page. Now, if you'd like to read this yourself, you can find the deluxe special edition trade paperback of Ask for Andrea wherever books are sold for a limited time. Again, you can find the deluxe special edition trade paperback for Ask for Andrea wherever books are sold for a limited time. Obscura is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it. So, your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. Listener, I want to give you a special warning for this episode. It's one of those episodes that doesn't comfortably fit as a black label, but is far more detailed and graphic than your average Obscura. There are details in this case that left me feeling shaken. There's no way around it. If you are particularly sensitive to crimes involving children, and yes, I know I just released one last episode, but I'll just tell you, this one's different. Then you may want to skip this one, or when we get to the details, you know, have your finger close to that fast forward or mute button. So, with that said, for everyone that's left, let's get on with it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
What's up, people? Joe Wenko here, your favorite Hawaiian guy. Right now, I'm here at this cemetery in Citrus County, Florida. I'm visiting the grave of this girl who was murdered back in 2005. Her name was Jessica Lunsford. I read about her story online a really long time ago, and I wanted to visit her grave and leave a flower by her grave because I felt really sorry for what happened to her. It's really horrible what she went through and what her family went through when everything happened. And I found her grave. It's right here. And let me show it to you. So here it is, her grave, Jessica Marie Lunsford. She would have been my age if she was still alive today. But because of some monster, she's now forever going to be 9 years old. It's not fair what happened to her. It's not fair that her family lost her either. Rest in peace, Jessica Marie Lunsford.
Part 3, The Girl Who Feared the Dark. Early on March 19th, Jessica's body was found buried in the ground next to Cooey's trailer. The team spent 5 hours excavating an area of dirt on the east side of the trailer. Jessica's body was covered with 2 black garbage bags. The bags were tied closed in a knotted fashion. Jessica Lunsford's impossibly small right index and middle finger poked accusably through the trash bags. There was a child in those trash bags. Just a kid. A small girl who had every hope in the world. Listener, A girl who had a loving family.
I mean, from band-aids to bicycles to bumps and bruises, she was my tomboy.
Who slept with her stuffed dolphin to fend off the dark. That darkness came to consume her. There were ligatures made of speaker wire, wrapped and knotted around her small wrists. She died holding her stuffed toy purple dolphin. The medical examiner cut the ligatures from Jessica's wrists, which were submitted to FDLE for analysis. It was a grim scene. Hardened members in their field are reported to have openly wept. This was the kind of case that haunts you, listener. Long after retirement, the one that you see when you close your eyes in the shower, or lift your granddaughter up for a helicopter ride. The medical examiner took Jessica's fingerprints as well as oral, vaginal, and anal swabs. Law enforcement removed the closet wall from Cooey's bedroom. He had photographs developed of latent prints found on the closet wall. A comparison of Jessica's known prints to the photographs of the prints located in the closet were a match. In addition, Kennedy rolled a set of prints from Cooey. He also obtained buccal swabs from Cooey. Gene Secord and John Cooey were both jailed in the Citrus County Jail in late March 2005. Cooey housed in the cell next to Secord. He talked to Secord about religion. Secord asked Cooey if he believed in God so much, how could he have done something as he did? Cooey responded, "It's in the past, man. We can't live in the past. Forget about it." Further, Cooey said, "If my sister would have loved me, I wouldn't have done all this." Dr. Stephen Cogswell, medical examiner, performed the autopsy of Jessica Lunsford. Cogswell noted that Jessica's body had two garbage bags tied around her. The bags were arranged around her body, as though she stepped into one open bag, squatted down, and it was knotted above her. The outside bag, quote, was pulled down over her head and knotted not quite underneath her buttocks, but in a lower area. Based upon the state of decomposition that Jessica's body showed, Cogswell determined she had been dead approximately 3 weeks before her body was found. Due to the mild climate at the time and all the rain, Jessica's body was not as decomposed as it could have been in other areas of Florida. Jessica's body was, quote, at the stage of decomposition, going from bloat into decay. She did not have signs of external injuries or bruising. There was a considerable amount of decomposition fluid in the trash bags. Jessica's soft tissues liquefied and drained away from her body and the skin itself. Everything inside the trash bags was saturated with decompositional fluids. Her body was essentially within a semi-liquid environment. As a result, trace evidence from her body settled at the bottom of the trash bag and had to be pulled out in clumps. The sexual assault examination indicated Jessica had shallow lacerations and abrasions to her vagina, indicative of sexual assault. These injuries occurred within a few hours of her death. She would have had, quote, a fair amount of bleeding from these injuries. Jessica's gastrointestinal tract was empty, indicating she had not had a meal in quite a while. This is when a terrible discovery was made. Jessica Lunsford had been buried alive. Her fingers were poking through the trash bag because she had been thrashing, desperately attempting to escape. The girl who had been so afraid of the dark was made to step into a trash bag, holding her stuffed dolphin, had another placed over her head. She was then placed into an open grave, then slowly buried alive. Dr. Cogswell concluded Jessica's death was a homicide. Her cause of death was suffocation.
He lived directly across the street from me. He broke into my home, took my daughter to his house, and kept her there for 3 days. As he raped her, he kept her in a closet tied with speaker wire, placed her in two trash bags, tied it shut, placed her in a hole alive, and buried her.
When confronted with this evidence, Cooey told investigators, quote, he didn't know why he did what he did, and that he wished he could take it back, but he couldn't. Cooey meekly offered that he had been doing a lot of drugs at the time. He then told Officer Reed he saw Jessica playing in her yard. He thought she was about 6 years old when he saw her. On the night Cooey took Jessica, he went to burglarize her home. According to him, he saw Jessica and, quote, acted on impulse and took her. He told Jessica, quote, I'm going to take you to your father. She asked if she could take her dolphin, and Cooey told her that she could if she kept quiet. Cooey said he kept Jessica in his home for 3 days. She was either lying on the bed with him or was in the closet. I'm not going to repeat some of the things he said she willingly did to him, because there's no willing for a 9-year-old or anyone in that situation for that matter. So that is going to be left out. Cooey said his sister knew Jessica was in their home. At one point, Matt Dittrich was in Cooey's bedroom when Jessica was there. On the first day, Jessica was with him. Cooey told Reed he engaged in sexual activity with her and that Jessica bled. Cooey panicked when police came with dogs on the third day of her captivity. He tied her hands and feet. Cooey told Jessica he was going to take her home. She climbed out of his window. He told her to get into the garbage bags, quote, because he didn't want people seeing her going across the street. Jessica stepped into one bag, and then Cooey covered her with the other. He had previously dug a hole on his property. He took Jessica out of his room through a window in a small escape ladder he had created ahead of time. He placed her in the hole and covered her with dirt. She was still alive at this point. At this point in the interview, John Cooey complained about the way other inmates talked about him. Quote, I don't appreciate people talking about me like this. I didn't mean to do what I did, and I didn't mean to kill her. When asked what his biggest regret was, he said, quote, my regret is that I've lost everything. I'm the one in jail. Listener, I want to take a moment to give a clear summary of what actually happened. I mentioned it before, but I left some details out of what Cooey said he and Jessica had done, quote, together. But it was so insulting to Jessica's memory and frankly absurd that I will never read that out loud. So, this is not going to be through the lens of John Cooey's confession. That way you can have a full, objective understanding of the events that transpired without anything being colored by someone trying to minimize their guilt. Observant listeners would notice that Cooey even contradicted himself during his confession. So, listener, John Cooey observed Jessica playing outside her home. Later that night, he went to Jessica's home and entered her room. He found her in bed, told her he'd take her to her father, took her to his trailer, where he kept her for 3 days. He admitted to sexually assaulting and raping her multiple times, and that this caused enough trauma for Jessica to bleed, and as examiners found later, caused lacerations. He then hid her in his closet whenever police was searching for her, and panicked when he heard the police dogs. He dug a hole in which to bury her and created an escape ladder for in case he needed to bug out. Later, he told her he would take her back to her house, but did not want anyone to see them. He tricked her into climbing into a plastic trash bag, tied it around her, then placed another one over the top of her head and across the top of her body. He buried her alive with her purple dolphin in the hole he had previously dug. The kidnapping and the murder were planned. He successfully hid her in his trailer without his family detecting her presence. He dug the hole to a depth of in excess of 12 inches of soil found to be covering her body. He avoided detection. He obtained necessary garbage bags. He convinced her to step into that first bag. He secured her fate with the second bag. He put Jessica in the hole and then filled that grave with dirt. Cooey planned for rape and purposeful murder. This was a determined, albeit savage, manner of planned murder, and absolutely no pretense of anything else. No amount of childhood abuse or semi-literacy can explain away what he did, that he meticulously planned everything. Part 4, Jesse's Place. Friends and relatives of Jessica Marie Lunsford, who spent much of her early life in North Carolina, gathered to honor the memory of the slain 9-year-old. Described by family members as a cheerful child who enjoyed singing and helping others, Jessica was remembered during a candlelight vigil attended by more than 100 supporters outside the boardwalk, a restaurant where her father, Mark Lunsford, had previously worked. Jessica lived in Gaston County for most of her childhood before relocating to Florida with her father about 18 months prior to her death. Following her disappearance, residents of her former community organized fundraisers, including barbecue sales, to assist the family. Authorities later reported that John Evander Cooey, 46, confessed to kidnapping and killing Jessica after taking a polygraph test in Georgia. Her body was discovered more than 3 weeks after she went missing from her Florida home. Cooey was subsequently charged with capital murder, kidnapping, sexual battery on a child under the age of 12, and battery. He was also booked on a probation violation and failure to register a change of address as a convicted sex offender. Upon searching his laptop, authorities found child sexual abuse material. Family members in North Carolina described Jessica, a student at Sherwood Elementary School, as a kind and outgoing child. They said the community's response brought them a measure of comfort in the wake of her horrifying death. Quote, "They just bless my heart that people show up to light a candle in remembrance of her," said Susan Lunsford, Jessica's aunt. Relatives also expressed concern about systemic failures that allowed Cooey, a registered sex offender, to reoffend. Quote, "With this man, the system failed," said John Bowles, Jessica's cousin. Another relative, Darlene Lunsford, urged the public to advocate for stronger protection for children. Quote, "Don't let Jessica's death be in vain. Take an active voice to protect these kids because they cannot help themselves." Jessica's father contemplated suing the county. Listener, we've all had headaches when dealing with financials. Overdraft fees, missed payments, or wishing you had ways to save more. Chime understands that every dollar counts. Chime is banking done right. Open a checking account with no monthly fees and no maintenance fees. Get paid up to 2 days early when you set up direct deposit. With qualifying direct deposits, you're eligible for free overdraft. Up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. To date, Chime has spotted members over $30 billion. You heard that right. Open a checking account with no monthly fees and no maintenance fees. Not to mention, access to over 47,000 fee-free ATMs, more than the top 3 national banks combined. My younger self would have benefited from this. I'll tell you that. Work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Listener, did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's mind magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get to the perfect mood. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Obscura. Head to Mood.com, find your functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Obscura when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
You didn't lose your kid. I lost mine.
Clearly upset while recalling the horrible death of his daughter, Mark Lunsford insisted on talking only about an upcoming fundraiser for a child advocacy center named for Jessica and refused to answer questions about his notice to sue the sheriff and state law enforcement.
Mark, your letter said the sheriff was negligent. Was the sheriff negligent?
Well, I know that law enforcement needs child advocacy centers to be able to do prosecution against sex offenders and predators. And I have to stay focused on that.
That we are going to vigorously defend our agencies against this baseless allegation made by the Lunsfords that we failed to do our job.
But Cooey's confession may be the basis for the lawsuit. In it, Cooey says officers did not thoroughly search his home, where he says Jessica had been hidden and was likely still alive. He said, quote, if they, deputies, would have came in, they would have caught her in my closet. They didn't search. An autopsy showed Jessica likely was buried alive, but could not determine how long she had lived after her kidnapping.
In the Circuit Court of the 11th Judicial Circuit of the State of Florida, in and for Miami-Dade County, change of venue from 5th Circuit, Citrus County. The State of Florida versus Johnny Vander Cooey, case number 2005-CF-298A, verdict count 1. We the jury find as follows as to the defendant in this case. The defendant is guilty of murder in the first degree of as charged in the indictment. So say we all, the 7th day of March, A.D., 2007, at Miami-Dade County, Florida, Pedro Yaguna, 4-person. Verdict count 2. We the jury find as follows as to the defendant in this case. The defendant is guilty of burglary of a dwelling with a battery as charged in the indictment. Verdict count 3. We the jury find as follows as to the defendant in this case. The defendant is guilty of kidnapping as charged in the indictment. So say we all. Verdict count 4. We the jury find as follows as to the defendant in this case. The defendant is guilty of sexual battery on a child under 12 years of age as charged in the indictment. So say we all.
On August 24th, 2007, at precisely 2 p.m., John Cooey was sentenced. Among those present was Jessica's father and grandparents, Archie and Ruth Lunsford, who sat together as law enforcement officials, filled the remaining seats. Sheriff Jeff Dawsey, who had led the investigation, watched solemnly as justice was carried out.
In the Circuit Court of the 11th Judicial Circuit of the State of Florida, in and for Miami-Dade County, change of venue from the 5th Circuit, Citrus County, State of Florida versus Johnny Vander Cooey, case number 2005-CF-298. A majority of the jury, by a vote of 10 to 2, advise and recommend to the court that it impose the death penalty upon Johnny Vander Cooey for the murder of Jessica Marie Lunsford.
The courtroom in Citrus County was silent as Circuit Judge Richard Howard delivered the final words that sealed Cooey's fate. The 49-year-old man would die by lethal injection. Cooey's defense attorney had made one final attempt to spare their client's life. In a motion submitted earlier in the month, they pleaded for mercy, arguing that Cooey's crime was born out of impulse and stupidity. They described his troubled childhood, the abuse he had suffered, and his mental deficiencies, insisting that a life sentence, not death, was the only punishment that would be justified. For Jessica's family, the judge's ruling brought a measure of justice they had long prayed for. Her father, Mark Lunsford, stood before reporters, his voice edged with anger and grief. Quote, I think he needs to stand up and be a man now and take his death penalty, and I hope he rots in hell. But even Cooey seemed to know what was coming. From his jail cell, in a recorded conversation with his aunt, on August 3rd, he had already accepted his fate. Quote, I kick myself in the butt 100 times a day. Stupidity. I just keep asking myself, why were you so stupid? We all know what he's going to do, Cooey said, referring to Judge Howard.
But you know God's in control of everything.
No, that's why I don't worry about it. I know it's in his hand. That's why I don't let it bother me.
No, because, you know, from the time we're born in this world, we're born to die.
Yeah, I know.
And so when God gets
ready.
You gotta
go somewhere.
when God gets ready.
Right. Well, he might not want me later. I might end up getting it anyway. We all know what he's gonna do.
Well, me too, but you know God's in control of everything.
He knew the sentence that awaited him, and he knew why it was going to come. John Cooey would never receive the justice that he so deserved. In 2007, at age 51, he died of natural causes inside a Jacksonville, Florida hospital. One could only hope that hell awaits.
So from the first headline,
she was missing.
Ruth cut it up and tenderly placed it into a three-ring binder, four of them for every year. Years like 2005 filled its binder. Going from the search for Jesse.
Jesse's home now.
To finding her killer.
And you realize that if they hadn't have found him, that we would have been the culprits.
To finally being able to put her granddaughter to rest.
When they lifted the balloons up, you know, all these balloons were together. And all at once, Mark looked up there and he said, there's one going off all by itself. That's Jesse. This was at the trial.
2007 was full too, with the trial of the killer.
So that's all about the prosecution itself.
And John Cooey's eventual sentencing to death.
You were thinking, well, this is it. This is the end. But it wasn't the end. It just kept going and going and going.
2009 had just started when there was some good news outside Ruth's bedroom window. The trailer where Cooey lived and murdered Jessica was burned to the ground.
And I'm standing there and saying, what took you so long, Lord?
And a little over halfway through, really only a few pages into this year's book, Ruth put one final page in. Jesse's killer dies. Ruth would have put a different headline.
I don't know, maybe I would write Hallelujah on there or something.
This year marked 20 years since Jessica Lunsford was taken from this world.
Underneath the trees at Faith Baptist Church, Jessica Lunsford's smile shines.
When a child's life is lost, people will create things to make some kind of good happen for that child. And thus, a legacy begins.
Legacy. That's an important word for Mark Lunsford, Jessica's father.
When I called you, you said, I don't want to talk about the crime. I want to talk about the legacy. Yeah. In that 20 years, how has Jesse's legacy impacted the entire country, the entire world?
To me, it's very large. Maybe to other people, it may not be such a big deal, but to me, it's very large. And it's after 20 years, we deserve something to be happy about.
A neighbor who was also contracted to work at her school kidnapped and murdered 9-year-old Jessica. He had failed to register as a sex offender. Our cameras were there every day in 2005 during the family's 3-week-long search for Jessica and their fight for justice after.
What happens when the cameras go away? These are your kids, too.
I can remember saying that, and I think that was a powerful statement because for the next 10 years, I was still in cameras in other states, in D.C., out of the country.
Even if you don't know her name, her story has likely impacted you. Florida passed the Jessica Lunsford Act shortly after her death. It changed Florida's sexual offender and predator registration laws, including stronger background checks for people contracted to work for schools.
How many states has some version of Jesse's
law? 46. I think about the others that are being helped, the other parents, and it's going to help the children.
The other side of her legacy is Jesse's Place.
Yes. These child advocacy centers are meant to be a comfort zone for the child, because without them, they got to take them to the sheriff's department for investigation. They got to go to hospitals. They got to go to therapy. They can do everything in one spot, somewhere where the child can learn to be comfortable.
Jessica's legacy also lives on at Citrus County Sheriff's Office.
When I think back 20 years ago, we lost some innocence, I would think, in Citrus County.
Citrus County Sheriff David Vincent showed me their new Tree of Life Memorial for her. It also highlights the importance of every single department in this case.
When we move forward with things like the Tree of Life that's behind me here, it's just making sure that no one ever forgets of why we put safeguards in place and why we want to protect children.
Even though Jessica is not physically here, Lunsford knows she's always with him. His 17-year-old son shares a birthday with her, and Lunsford says he can still feel her presence.
And then there's times that you talk to yourself, and then in your own voice, you talk back with an answer. That's God or the ones you lost. They're giving you the answer. They're trying to help you.
I'll admit that, as a father of a 7-month-old girl, this was a difficult episode to create. I found myself wiping away tears on more than one occasion. Jessica's Law, named in memory of 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford, is the title given to a 2005 Florida law and to similar measures adopted in other states, created to protect children from sexual predators and to prevent repeat offenses. The law imposes a mandatory minimum sentence of 25 years in prison and a lifetime of electronic monitoring for those who harm victims under the age of 12. Frankly, listener, I think being launched into the sun with a catapult would be more effective, but what do I know? Founded on August 2006, the Citrus County Children's Advocacy Center, known as Jesse's Place, was created in response to a deep need within the community to better protect its most vulnerable children. The center emerged from the grassroots efforts of local child advocates who were determined to honor the memory of Jessica Lunsford by ensuring that no child in Citrus County would ever again suffer as she did. This mission is clear: to provide a safe, compassionate space where abused, neglected, traumatized children can find protection, justice, and healing. Today, Jesse's Place fulfills that mission as a fully integrated child advocacy center. Within its warm, child-friendly facility, the investigative work of law enforcement and the Department of Children and Families is brought together and supported through collaborations with professionals from multiple disciplines. Children receive specialized forensic interviews and medical examinations, while their families are offered advocacy services and trauma-focused, evidence-based therapy to help them heal and begin the long journey towards recovery. Every service is provided with care, and it's always free of charge. And all of this couldn't have been done without the legacy of Jessica Lunsford. She so moved the community that they established all of this, a law adapted across the nation, an advocacy center full of experts that has saved countless children, and it's brought justice to those that would act to harm them. Rest in peace, Jessica. I hope wherever you are, it's bright and sunny.